we're not taking a verse by verse through the book of Proverbs, but it's more of a topical type of a study because the Proverbs are, you know, what we would call pithy sayings. They are, there's a lot of instruction in the book of Proverbs, though, regarding Christian character, regarding raising of children, regarding relationships, all kinds of instruction in the book of Proverbs. And this morning, we're going to consider what the Proverbs has to say about friends. It's wonderful to have friends. Amen. Probably one of the greatest examples of friends in the Scriptures would be the relationship of David and Jonathan together. And Jonathan even chose his friendship with David over his father. There was a time when Saul wanted to kill David, and there was a time when Jonathan's heart was knit with David's, and there was a time when even Jonathan's father saw that relationship and even would have killed his own son. And how tragic that relationship, but how blessed to see the relationship that David and Jonathan had. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:1, I'll just read it for you, just hold your place in Proverbs. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That is a clear description of really what how deep that friendship was. He loved him as his own soul. 2 Samuel 1:26 says, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. David and Jonathan are a great example of what real friendship ought to be. And, you know, people have different ideas of or definitions as to what a friend is and what a friend is not. And we all might have different ideas, you know, when we consider, you know, what is just a friend of mine and what's my very best friend. And some might even find it difficult to define what a real friend is. But the Word of God, it gives us clear instruction as to what kind of character traits are found in what a genuine friend is. The Bible shows us and instructs us what a friend ought to be. What kind of character traits are there? And so this morning, as we begin and as we talk about this subject, you know, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I a real friend? Am I a biblical friend? Not my own definition of what a friend is, but am I a godly, biblical type of a friend? And do I have those kinds of people in my life? I think it would be a terrible, terrible state to be in to not have any friends. The Bible speaks of some situations when men found themselves alone, without a friend. Listen to Psalm 38, verse 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from me sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Psalm 102, 7 says, I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Sometimes I remember growing up in the cold winters of North Dakota, and winter here is much, much better. There, it's windy, it's flat, it's ugly, and it's freezing cold all the time. And sometimes you'd see, you know, just a lone sparrow up on a telephone wire out in the middle of the wintertime, you know, just all hunched over, you know, and on a all by himself out in the middle of nothing, you know. And what a lonely, lonely, miserable condition to have to be in alone. Psalm 142, verse 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Wow. Think of that kind of condition. to be in that kind of a condition. Nobody in here experiences that. No man caring for your soul. It's a blessing to have friends, and I want you to think this morning about what a blessing we have in this church family. What a blessing we have to have godly Christian friends. We should never take that relationship for granted. And like I said, even though we might have some different definitions as to, in our own minds, as to what a friend is or who we might call our friends, we don't have to rely on our own wisdom in looking for a friend or defining what really is a friend. The book of Proverbs lays down for us some guidelines, some traits, some characteristics of what a real friend is. And I want to explore those this morning and ask yourself, am I a biblical type of a friend? All right? Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd instruct us this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Father, build relationships one with another because of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen your people, strengthen the bond in this New Testament church. And Father, may we, as the scriptures teach, always be striving for the unity of the faith amongst the believers. And Father, I pray that you'd be pleased with the response today. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, the first characteristic and first trait of a good friend or a biblical friend is one who is faithful. A good friend is faithful. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And look with me in verse 20. Proverbs 14, verse 20. The Bible says the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. Now, I point this verse out because I'm going to make a distinction here. A good friend is faithful, but there are all kinds of fair weather friends out there. The world is full of fair weather friends. And that is not the definition of what a biblical or good friend is. The Bible says here that the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4. These are, again, talking about fair weather type friends. And we'll get to a real friend in just a second here. Proverbs 19 and verse 4, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Here again, we find that money and wealth, that a person who's rich, they got a lot of friends. You ever known somebody like that? You know, somebody who's wealthy, who's rich, they always got somebody who's trying to buddy up to them. Always got somebody who, you know, who, oh yeah, he's a great friend, because they're trying to use him for what they can get out of him. You know, the prodigal son, he had a whole lot of friends as long as he had the money. But when the money ran out, where did he find himself? Alone. Those weren't real friends. Look at verses 6 and 7 of Proverbs 19. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. These are fair weather friends. And there's all kinds of fair weather friends out there. But a true friend is a person, you know what, who is still there. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter, you know who you are. A real friend, a true friend, is still there even when the going gets really tough. Proverbs chapter 17, look over there, 17, just a page back. Proverbs 17 and verse 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In the darkest hours of life, a friend is still there. A real friend is there to encourage, to lift up, to strengthen. And you know what is key about a real friend? A true friend who's faithful is always wanting the spiritual good of others. A real friend is more concerned about the spiritual good of others than anything else. And in those deepest and darkest hours of life, a real friend is one who's always there, loving at all times, there in times of adversity, wanting to strengthen and in the spiritual good. And we'll get to this in just a second, but part of that sometimes is when a friend is making some choices that are not good, or they're starting to go down a road that's not going to lead to a good place, a real friend is one who is there in those dark hours to try to help encourage to on the right paths. They're always concerned about the spiritual good of others. And a friend loveth at all times. You know, even when some turn their back on you, even when you've invested a lot of time and a lot of effort into people to help them grow, to see them flourish, and they sort of disregard all of that, and they're going to do their own thing, and they're going in the wrong way, it'd be real easy, you know, especially for a pastor, to become very cynical. You know, I put a lot of time into this person. I want to see their spiritual good. I'm trying to help them grow. I'm trying to give them good advice, godly counsel, good advice, and they seem to just turn their back on that and go their own way. It can be very easy to become very cynical. You know what? Go do what you're going to do. If that's how you're going to be, if that's how you're going to act, fine. Do what you're going to do. But a real friend loves at all times. Brother is born for adversity. And, you know, sometimes that happens, I suppose, with people. They're going to do what they're going to do. But a real friend is never, ever, ever satisfied or content with watching people destroy their lives. A real friend is faithful. And when we have such friends of long-standing faithfulness like that, you know what? We need to guard those relationships very carefully. We need to guard those relationships dearly. Are you that kind of a friend? Are you faithful to others? Do you seek the spiritual good of those that you call your friends? Proverbs 27 in verse 10. Look over there. Proverbs 27, 10. The Bible says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. You know what? Sometimes, and many times, church family and friends are better than blood. What a blessing that is, you know? Family is family, and you need to love your family, but you know what? Sometimes family doesn't give good advice. Sometimes family's not really there for your spiritual well-being and good. And many times, church family and friends are closer and better than blood. Praise the Lord for that, because they're faithful. Secondly, a good friend not only is faithful, but another characteristic of a good friend is that a good friend will rebuke us when it's necessary. Look with me in Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. So keep that in mind. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Look at Proverbs 27, though, in verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A man who flatters his friend spreadeth a net for his feet. What does that mean? And then we find here that the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes we need a rebuke in our life, and a real friend is going to be one who will rebuke us when it's necessary. Sometimes there are things that need to be said to a friend that are not easy to say. It would be easier to say, well, you know, I see what's happening there, but I'm not going to say anything because, you know, I'm afraid of how they're going to respond or whatever, and, you know, it's not really my problem anyway. But a real friend is one who will tell us what we need to hear when it's necessary. There's a lot of sentimentalism that pervades friendships. And the reason for that is because most of the time people are selfish themselves. You know? And that sentimentalism pervades those friendships, and they flatter their friends when frankly sometimes people need a rebuke. Sometimes I need a rebuke. But a true friend is one who loves us enough, who is honest enough to tell us what we need to hear for our own spiritual good, rather than flattering with the lips. You know, letting one think that he's okay when he's really not okay doesn't help his well-being. You flatter your neighbor, you spread a net for their feet. You're enabling that trap. You're helping and letting one go on thinking he's okay when he's really not okay doesn't help their spiritual well-being. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes those things aren't easy to say, and they're hard to say, and they hurt, but they're from a faithful friend. Amen? So, and let me make an application here. Some men think that they should never, ever be corrected by their wife. You know, I'm the head of this house. You're supposed to submit to me. My way of thinking is always right. And some men think they should never be corrected by their wife. What a fool. What a fool. God gave you an helpmeet to help you be better. And sometimes, listen, we need correction. And who better to be corrected by than our very, very best friend? Amen? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes the kindest thing a wife can ever say to her husband is to tell him that, you know, the way that you're thinking right now is pretty crazy. You need to step back and rethink this. Sometimes that's the kindest thing a wife could ever say to her husband. In a gracious way, of course, she needs to say that. But a good friend is not only faithful, but a good friend is one who will rebuke when it's necessary. And thirdly, a good friend is somebody who's thoughtful, somebody who's tactful. Go with me over to Proverbs 25. Proverbs chapter 25. Good verse 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. So we're talking about a good friend being one who is tactful. A good friend is somebody who's sensitive to the needs of their friends and speaks in such a way that is encouraging and enriching. Sometimes, you know, making a joke about everything is not appropriate. It's not appreciated. There are times when people are really hurting, you know, and you might not share the same emotion over an issue that somebody else does. And in your mind, oh, that's what's the big deal about that? Just you need to get over it. And, you know, making lighthearted jokes about something when it's a real issue to someone else, it's not very sensitive, not very tactful, certainly not a show of what a good friend really is. And even though you might not share the same emotions as another, a good friend is going to still feel and hurt with one who's hurting. Amen? Making a joke about everything is not always appropriate. Because you know what? It doesn't really matter. Well, it does matter, but it not only matters what we say, but how we say it and when we say it. Those things matter. And a good friend is someone who's thoughtful, someone who's tactful, someone who's always concerned about the well-being of their friend. Most of the time, you know, people say they have friends, but they use them for their own personal gain. And that is not a demonstration of what a real, true friend is. A good friend is someone who's thoughtful. A good friend is someone who's tactful. A good friend is somebody who sharpens us. Go with me over to Proverbs 27. I think we're in 25, but look at Proverbs 27 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." A good friend is one who sharpens us. And sometimes, you know, we need to be stretched in our thinking. It's real easy, especially up here in Alaska, so far removed, you know, from a lot of other things. It's very, very easy to become, for a lack of a better term, inbred in our thinking. You know, this is the way that we do things. This is the way we operate. And it's just always the way we've done it. And it's the Alaskan way, and so on. And we can become very set in our thinking to the point that we get to the point where we think that our way is the only way. And we need to be sharpened. And we need to be stretched in our thinking. Because, listen, our way of thinking isn't always right. And iron sharpens iron, and a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And you know what? A good friend is someone who is going to stretch us in our thinking, prod us to higher and greater thinking. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5, look over there with me. Proverbs 25, or excuse me, chapter 20, verse 5. The Bible says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." And you know what? We ought to seek to develop friendships with people who will challenge us in our thinking and present to us a new way of looking at things, because it helps to balance us. It helps to round us out. I remember my own pastor teaching this very thought, this very principle, when it came to all the Bible college students back when I was in Bible college. And you know, in a Bible Institute situation, if you are having graduates and you bring people up through the ranks, and then some of those, you know, are now teaching Bible college classes and so on, and then there's more graduates, and then those come in and teach Bible college classes and so on. A lot of times what would happen is that Bible college student, now he's teaching, he would just go back and take his own notes that he had from Bible college, and he would just be reteaching those same notes. And not that teaching doctrine is wrong, but what happens oftentimes is you're just regurgitating the same stuff all the time. And there's not a good balance. And sometimes it's good to be rounded out. It's good to have other perspectives, other thoughts, other preachers, other ways of thinking, other ways of doing things, because it makes us more balanced. And it makes us better people. Sometimes that's what happens in our way of thinking. We become so set, and this is the way we do it. And anything that's new and anything that's different is like, oh, breaking the tradition of the elders, kind of a thing. And we can stagnate, is what I'm saying. And we need good, godly friends who will challenge us in the way that we think. An iron to sharpen iron. and who will challenge us in our thinking to present to us new ways of looking at things, listen, so that it balances us out. Balance is key in the Christian life. We are already, as sinful people, prone to extremes, you know? And we can become extreme very easily in so many things. And balance is key. And a good friend is one who will sharpen us. Not only sharpen us in our way of thinking, but who will sharpen us in the spiritual aspect, in the spiritual life. Listen, if our friends consist of people who just basically entertain us, and we become people who just entertain others, there's something that's really, really, really missing in a friendship. We need to be sharpened spiritually. And we ought to seek to be the kind of friend, the kind of person, listen, who walks with the Lord themselves and who inspires others in their walk with the Lord. Remember what Hebrews 10:24 says, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. A real friend is someone who is going to sharpen us in the things of God. You know what? I want to be around the kind of people who are spiritually minded people. Why? Because I want to love and please the Lord myself. And a good friend who is spiritually minded is someone who will encourage and strengthen and challenge me in my own spiritual growth. That iron, sharpening iron. Amen? I don't want to be the kind of person, though, who, you know, oh yeah, I like him. He's, you know, he's funny, and you know, or he's a nice guy, good personality. No, I want people to know, listen, that I love them, I care for them, and I want people to see my friends. I want them, you know, to see that person cares for my soul and it is concerned about my spiritual well-being. And you know what? I want to love the Lord more because of that person's example. That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of friends I want to have. Why? Because character traits rub off, amen, on others. And we know that one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch, right? You don't put a good one in the middle of the bad ones, and all the bad ones become good ones. We need to surround ourselves, amen, with people who are going to sharpen us spiritually. And if all we're looking for is entertainment, oh, they're fun, yeah, let's go do this, oh, let's go do this, oh, let's go do that, and there's never any spiritual interaction, there's never any, time to talk about the Lord and to praise the Lord, and to talk of the goodness of God. Listen, there's something missing in that friendship. I love it when I can just sit down at the table and have a conversation with somebody and the conversation turns to the things of God. I love that. Had that experience just the other day with a man in this church. We were just sitting talking and the conversation was completely surrounded about the Lord. That's real fellowship. That's sharpening. Iron sharpening iron. I love times to just sit around the fire and give testimony. Testify of what the Lord has done. Those are sweet times of fellowship between friends that sharpen one another. But man, if you sit around the fire and somebody says, hey, let's, anybody got a testimony to share? And then all of a sudden, everybody clams up. And all of a sudden, everybody feels really uncomfortable. Something's missing. Amen? Because real friends will sharpen us. Sharpen us spiritually. What kind of a friend are you? Selah. Let's pause for effect. What kind of friend are you? A good friend is someone who sharpens. A good friend is somebody who will offer good and wise counsel. Those whom we choose as friends, listen, they should be marked by wisdom. And because of that wisdom, offer good and godly counsel. A real friend, a good friend, is not going to give counsel that is contrary to God's word and God's truth. Look in Proverbs 27 here. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What rejoices the heart? Hey, good counsel from a man's friend will rejoice the heart. Like I said before, family doesn't always offer good advice. What constitutes good advice is it godly? That's what constitutes good advice. Is it godly? I remember a time as a young Christian, there was a time, I think I had only been saved maybe for a couple of years. Young man, newly saved, and so on. And I found myself in a situation where, you know, financially it was hard. It was a struggle. And you know, my thought was, oh, I gotta find a way to get out of this. This is a bad thing. And so I went, sad to say, I went to a friend, a godly friend, and I asked him for a loan. Told him the situation. And I said, I need to get out of this, and I asked him for a loan. And you know what he told me? He took me over to the Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 6, you can go there with me. Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 1, he says, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And he told me, he said, you know what? For our friendship's sake, I'm not going to give you a loan. Because I value our friendship more. And he knew the situation, that it wasn't necessarily dire, life or death kind of a thing. And he said, no, what you need to do is you need to work harder and you need to work longer and you need to save more and you'll get out of this. But for our friendship's sake, I'm not going to do that. And he said, you know what? If it was a life or death situation, I would give you what you need and not expect a thing back because you're my friend. But I'm not going to give you a loan. That was the best advice and the best counsel I could have ever gotten. Because a good friend will offer wise and godly counsel that's always concerned about the spiritual well-being of their friend, concerned about that relationship. And you know, I could have gotten out of that situation, but I could have lost a friend. Money has a way of doing that, coming between friends. And you know, a real friend, if there's a need, like a real need that's dire, a friend's just going to say, hey, you know what, I'll do this, and I don't expect a thing back because you're my friend. But for our friendship's sake, I'm not going to give you a loan. And I praise the Lord for that. I look back on that, and I was immature. I didn't know any better. But the Word of God was very clear in its principle. And I'm glad that he knew the Word of God better than me at the time so that he could give good advice and good counsel. Amen? Because that's what a real friend does. Family doesn't always give good advice. They may love you, but if they're not saved or so on, or they're not spiritually minded, their worldview, their way of looking at things is totally different than God's way of looking at things. And we need to surround ourselves with people who and have friends who will offer us wise counsel, godly counsel, biblical counsel. That's what a real friend does. We got a little bit of time left. So these are character traits of what a real friend is. What kind of a friend are you? I want to talk for just a few minutes, though, about traits of people who should never be our friends. What kinds of people should not be our friends? And while we should seek the kinds of friends with the qualities that we've just talked about, there are some people that we ought to shun and not have our friends. Characteristics of people who would hinder our walk with God, and we shouldn't associate with them or call them friends. We ought not to associate with a fool. Look at Proverbs 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see the contrast here? You surround yourself with wise, godly friends, it's going to rub off on you, and you're going to be sharpened, and you'll be wise, but a companion of fools is going to be destroyed. It's important who we choose as friends, because character traits, or lack thereof, will rub off. Proverbs 14 and verse 7 says, "Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge." I think it's pretty clear. Shouldn't associate with those that are fools. They don't have godly wisdom. We shouldn't call them or associate with them in a friendship relationship. We ought not to associate with those who have an uncontrollable temper. The Bible says in Proverbs 22. Look over here with me, Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." I don't think it gets any more clear than that, does it? The people you associate with rub off on you. There are times when we can make decisions like, well, I'll do this in my life, and this person, I'm going to let this person into my life in a particular way. You better be very, very sure. You better walk and tread lightly, because listen, the people we associate with rub off on us. And if someone who's got an attitude, or someone who's angry, or someone who has an uncontrollable temper, and we're buddy-buddy, we're friends with, according to the Word of God, what does it say? Look at it again. Verse 24. "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." The attitudes of people we associate with will rub off on us. And I said it already, one bad apple is going to spoil the whole thing. We shouldn't associate with those who are evil. Proverbs 24, verse 1 says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Look at Proverbs 29, verse 24. Proverbs 29. Verse 24, "Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not." Listen, we shouldn't make those of the world our friends. As a saint of God, we are commanded to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If our friends are worldly people, you know, unsaved people, and those are the people we usually hang around or want to be around, usually that's an indicator of something not right in your own heart. because birds of a feather flock together. And we should have nothing to do and nothing in common with the things of the world and people of the world. We shouldn't associate with those who are evil. And this last one here may not, at least in past, seem relevant, but man, it sure seems relevant today. Look with me in Proverbs 24. In the world that we live in today, I think this is becoming more and more relevant. Proverbs 24, verse 21 says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both?" You know, there are people in this world who are kind of revolutionary, you know, and they're always wanting to revolt. What do you see happening in the world today? Man, just about in every major city, on every college campus, there's some sort of a riot, there's some sort of a protest, there's some sort of a revolt going on. You see, even over the whole statue issue, what has taken place out of all of that? You know, tearing down the those who represent the Confederate, you know, side and the flag and all of that. And there's these rioting and these protesters that turned into violence and so on. And it's the white supremacist's fault, you know. You got to blame that. But the other side is never talked about. Those who are in masks, who don't want their face to be seen, who are stirring up trouble all the time. Man, I'm telling you, this is more and more relevant all the time. These Proverbs is saying, Solomon said to his son, he said there in verse 21, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." There's a movement, and it's been going on for a long time, but it's really shown its ugly head even more these days, of rebellion against authority. Rebellion against God-given authority. There are always some who are out for change. They want to change society. They want to change government. They want to change other people. And listen, it's not wrong to change for improvement's sake. But some are more bent on removing rather than improving. And the reason, and that's their cause. And the root of it is rebellion. Rebellion against God-established, God-ordained authority. Solomon said, "You fear the Lord and you fear the king." You know, God established human government for a reason. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on today, at least some. But rebellion is the spirit of Antichrist. And it is rearing its ugly head in our society, in our culture, more and more. And so often, listen, that mentality, that thinking, it works its way into families, and families raise up children who are disrespectful, who are rebellious against authority over them, because that's who they are. Oh, got to question everything. And if it doesn't fit with my way of thinking, I don't want to do it, or I'm going to question it. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. But what's in the heart? What's the motive? Where's it coming from? Rebellion against authority. You know, I've always thought that this was sort of funny. But it's a mentality, it's a way of thinking, you know. What if laws were passed in our country that banned guns? Well, that's my constitutional right. You can't take that from me. You're going to have to pry it from my cold, dead fingers. I'm all for keeping and owning guns and firearms. Absolutely. But I'm also for obeying biblical principles at the same time. And to have a revolutionary kind of a mindset and a way of thinking is not biblical. It's not biblical. All I'm saying is the kinds of people we associate with, I don't even know how I really got onto that. Not really even part of the lesson. But the kinds of people we associate with rub off on us. And there are some that we should not associate with. What kind of a friend are you? Oh, I'm out of time. I wanted to talk a little bit about relationships this morning as far as husbands and wives go and the kind of friendship a husband and wife ought to have. Your spouse ought to be your best friend. What kind of a friend are you, though? Understand what I mean? Are you faithful? Do you encourage your spouse in the things of God? Do you provoke them to love and to good works? Do you help them grow? Because a real friend, as are all these characteristics that we mentioned before, is faithful, rebukes us when necessary, sharpens us. There's a whole lot more, I guess, that we could say this morning. We don't have the time for. But let me just ask you the question and ask you to ask yourself, what kind of a friend are you? What kind of people do you associate with? It's really important to have real friends. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us very clear instruction. And if we'll adhere to it, we'll shape and mold our lives, helping us to grow and to be more in the image of Jesus Christ, who is ultimately the true friend. And the Bible says that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Father, if we'll draw close to you, if we'll walk with you, we'll never be alone. We have a friend in the Lord. And what a great thing to be able to be called the friend of God. And we haven't had much chance to talk about that this morning, but Lord, I pray that you'd take the truths that we have discussed, and Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today and develop relationships, and may we just ponder and meditate and chew on and digest the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.